Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
I'm Stephanie Cartier. I'm the co-founder of No Limits Cafe in Middletown, New Jersey, along with my husband, Mark. And No Limits Cafe is a lunch cafe that employs 34 individuals with intellectual disabilities and four neurotypical employees and myself. And, we set out to show people what people with intellectual disabilities are capable of without exploiting them, to show that they can do everything that you and I can do. And they just need a chance and maybe a little more time.
Okay, and now say, and welcome to Sylvia and me.
And welcome to Sylvia and me.
Stephanie, I'm so glad you could be here with me today. So No Limits Cafe. What I'd like to do is go back to why and when and, why was the creation of No Limits Cafe that you and your husband co-founded? If you could go into that story, that'd be great.
Sure. So back in 2017, our youngest child, Katie, she has Down syndrome, was 18 years old. And you can stay in the school system until you're 21 in the United States. So that left 3 years. So when you get to 21, that part of an individual with an intellectual disability's life is called falling off the cliff, because there's not many work opportunities, college opportunities. There's not much for them to do. There's day programs in some states, but there's not the meaningful, rich life opportunities that you and I are able to obtain. So we said, okay, we have 3 years. We have to figure out something to do for Katie. We have to figure out some sort of business that we can start. And we thought of a lot of businesses, and a lot of the businesses just helped Katie. And around us in Monmouth County, New Jersey, there's tons of other adults with intellectual disabilities. So we said, okay, let's do a restaurant. We've never worked in the restaurant business. We just like to eat in them.
Hang on 1 second. When you said, let's do a restaurant, weren't you watching a news program? And
well, that came later. So we thought, let's do a restaurant. Let's think on it.
Okay.
So 2 weeks later, we saw Lester Holt on NBC Nightly News did a story about a restaurant in Texas called Hugs Cafe. And we were like, okay, this is like a God wink moment. We thought about let's do it. So we actually got in touch with Ruth Thompson, who is the founder of Hugs Cafe in McKinney, Texas, Dallas suburb. And we went there, we volunteered there, they mentored us, we got to meet with members of their board, see how everything worked. And to this day, they still help us anytime we have questions or anything. And so while we were in Texas, we thought, okay, we can do this. So we sat on a curb in Dallas, Texas, figuring out our name, which was inspired by our daughter. And that's another story. And we're sitting on a curb getting the website and making sure we get the Twitter account and this and that. And there was already another No Limits Cafe in California. So we're like, darn. So we had to do a little finagling and stuff, and we figured it all out. And then once that happened and we said, okay, we're going to do this, we had to find a space to be able to do it. So that took a good year. We didn't know if we were going to rent, or are we going to buy, how are we going to do this? So we eventually found a restaurant, and our friend, who's a real estate agent, who also has a son with Down syndrome, found it for us. And it would need it to be completely gutted.
So you had, I know that you opened and you had two phases that you were looking to do. So to explain the first phase of opening the restaurant.
So phase one was to employ adults with intellectual disabilities. It was to empower them and give them meaningful jobs and to earn a living wage. And So we went about hiring people with intellectual disabilities, and there people came out of the woodwork. There were so many that applied, and we thought we could only hire 20 to 25, but we ended up hiring 34 because we couldn't say no to anybody. They were all awesome.
And well, the other thing is only 20% of people with disabilities are currently employed.
It's true.
And the other thing, as you were saying, they're never usually paid at least minimum wage.
No, they're not. A lot of them are not. And so we decided we're going to pay minimum wage, even our servers, which at least in New Jersey, servers get paid a much lower wage because the rest of their income comes in tips. So we decided we're paying everybody $11 an hour. And we thought, okay, we will hire these people and then train them. And eventually they'll go work someplace else, but that's not going to happen. They're never leaving and we're not letting them. Awesome. And so that was phase one, to get the restaurant running and functional. And we did that. And then
when did you open?
So we opened, we had a soft opening starting in February. And before the pandemic hit, we were opened 2 weeks of our regular hours, because each week we added on a day, we added on longer hours to try to, you know, so we didn't want to overwhelm our employees.
Sure.
And or ourselves. And mostly ourselves. And
I mean, come on, let's get real.
I know they didn't care. And we were only open for 2 weeks, so of our regular hours, and then we had to shut down because we thought about doing takeout and whatnot, but we were not open long enough to be known for our food. People were coming that were coming, and a lot of people were coming for the mission. And then you have to have good food, which we think we have, for them to come back, for them to return. And we didn't think, or we didn't know if people would come. We weren't really like on the map. We had gotten a lot of publicity and stuff, a lot. With none of it we solicited. People found us, which was really kind. And but we said, okay, we have to get our name out there. So we used this time during the pandemic. We got our name out there a lot. Like we were on the cover of the business section of the New York Times about nonprofits during this time, how it affects them, and a few other news channels in New York. And we feel like we got our name out there pretty well. So we ended up being a recipient of the PPP loan in the second round. So we said, okay, now we can pay our employees and we can try it. So we're starting June 4th. We're starting our takeout.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. And the employees, oh, they have been so amazing. They all text and call and say, when can we come back? When are we reopening? We want to help. We've done drive-bys to all of their houses, bringing them like their favorite dessert from the restaurant. We do birthday drive-bys when it's someone's birthday. We wrote them all individual letters. Like we're trying to keep them actively engaged to let them know that, you know, it's harder being in isolation when you have a disability than not.
And well, also the routine is broken. They completely were getting into a routine. They, you know, you had people feeling so relevant. And you know, with jobs that are meaningful and getting paid a real wage. So, I mean, that's just amazing. And it had to be so devastating to all of a sudden have to stop. Because from what I understand, you weren't open long enough for your employees to get unemployment.
That's correct. We were not. And, it was devastating, but what keeps me sane about the whole thing, that it's happening to the whole world, not just to us. So people with disabilities don't, like I said before, don't get a lot of opportunities that the rest of us get. So one thing that was really, I was really thrilled with was that we did get the PPP, and because, the banks and stuff, they didn't know our employees had disabilities. We were treated just like a regular business. And I was so happy, you know, because it was just like they got just like what everybody else could get, you know, without any issue. And that was really, that made me really happy.
Well, that's fantastic, because you're doing what you set out to do, and that is show the world that people with disabilities, people with intellectual disabilities are
capable.
I'm going to say the word again, relevant, because I can't think of another word right now. I don't do anymore. But I mean, how fantastic. You're giving them a life. As you said, you know, one of the hardest things was realizing that after the age of 21, your daughter, who can do just about anything, it sounds, you were trying to figure out how to make her life meaningful and give her something that she could hang on to.
Well, in that case, my daughter doesn't even work at the restaurant, because during that time, she got into a college program for people with intellectual disabilities, and she's part of the Mason Life program at George Mason University in Virginia. So she went there, but we said, okay, we still have to do this. And we never did it just for her. And so we'll see what happens now, because now she's obviously like everyone else, home from college.
Okay.
And, so we'll see what happens in the fall. So she'll work there now, but hopefully she'll get to go back to college. And so then our second phase, our phase two, was in the evening, because we're only open for lunch, we were going mm-hmm. to have a training program for other adults with intellectual disabilities that don't work in our restaurant. And then we have someone that's a community liaison, a volunteer, that goes around to other restaurants and see what positions they need to hire. And we'll train the people in our academy for those positions, and we'll just train them in general. Like, they'll come 3 nights a week, like front of the house one night, back of the house another night, and social skills another night. And then the goal is to place them in other restaurants for meaningful employment. My husband calls it the multiplier effect. So we can at least change the unemployment rate, at least locally. And but now with the whole pandemic, I think we're going to have to push that off for September, because we need to get back on our feet, to get on our feet to begin with. So
right, and you have June 4th to look forward to.
I know.
Now, are you going to be able to bring everyone back?
So what we're doing is, because we have the payroll protection program, we can pay them all their full salary, regardless of how many hours they work, because you have to use it for 75% of salary.
Right.
So what we've been doing is, we had our first group in this week, because we have to also social distance. So we did it in shifts, like 3 hours and 15 minute span, then another person would come in, so everybody was not near each other. So we're trying to do that. I mean, some people work 35 hours a week, and some people work 2 hours a week before the whole shutdown. And so we're just trying to get everybody in as much as we can give them. And we also figure it's a good time, since we are going to have some retraining that's going to be required, because we've been closed longer than we've been open.
Sure.
This is a good time to train some of the employees that might need a little more extra help. So, and our other problem is this: we rely on volunteers. So we always have about 5 volunteers in our restaurant every day during service. And we can't have volunteers in right now because of the whole social distancing.
Okay.
So we've asked each employee to come with somebody that is 18 or over that lives in their home with them as their volunteer. So we figure that's the best way around it, because so we're not all the 4 of us who are in the management, we can't be on top of everybody all the time. Plus, with social distancing, it's so hard in a restaurant. Trust me, by the end of the day, you're like, forget it. But we have to try. You know, that's
and you are.
We're trying. We are trying.
And that's amazing that you are really taking care of the people who you wanted in the first place to help, the reason, you know, behind your No Limits Cafe. So let's go back. How did, you said your daughter Katie came up with the name?
Yes. So on the A&E channel, there is a reality show called Born This Way. It was won a lot of Emmy Awards. It's about six adults in California with special needs, and it's their lives. And one of the girls on the show, Megan Baumgars, who my daughter liked the best, had some affinity with, she wrote her high school speech called Don't Limit Me. So that's—
Oh, wow.
So when my daughter had her yearbook, when she left high school in her senior year, her graduation quote was Don't Limit Me. So that's how we came up with the name.
And you're showing everyone, don't limit me.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, there's things that everyone can do. If you put aside the fact that other people are saying it can't be done.
Right, exactly. And you know what I found? There's a few interesting things I found about my own self-discovery during this is that I think that I get even way more than our employees get. I didn't think I would. I mean, I live in the disability world. My daughter has, you know, an intellectual disability, but I get so much from them. And I didn't expect that. And the other thing is they can do way more than I even thought. Like, they are really rock stars. And it's interesting when customers come in, they're like, this is like the best service, because we know we have to be impeccable. We have to be as clean and sanitary. We have to be better than everybody else because we are being judged when people come in, you know, and whether they mean to or not, you know, it's just happening. It's just a natural thing. And so we are, and people keep saying, oh, gosh, this service was better than any restaurant, because we put comment cards on the table when we were doing our soft openings to see where we needed to improve. And that our service was not one of them. So that was pretty cool. Our parking lot was our big one, because we have a bad parking lot.
Okay. That's, again, I'll go back to probably repeating myself. That's fantastic. And the fact that even you just said it was beyond what you thought that your employees could do.
Yes.
And they probably didn't even know that they could do it, but they weren't going to be stopped. Giving people with intellectual disabilities the ability to prove that there are no limits. It's fantastic.
There are no limits. Yes, there are none.
So, I believe on your website, can people donate? Do you do any fundraising?
Yes. In fact, we had a big virtual fundraiser during the pandemic because we said, okay, we have to try to do takeout if we get this PPP, but we needed money to buy food. So we did a virtual comedy night, and it was very successful. And yes, and we take donations. Yes, that we thrive on donations, and all of our donations go to paying the employees and paying for our food. We have very low overhead. We don't pay rent, and we have very light utility bills. At least now during the pandemic, there's not a lot. But yes, we take donations, and you can make donations through our website, which is www.nolimitscafe.org.
Okay. So what's on the menu for takeout? What are some of the things that you're going to have?
Here. So we have our I don't want to say standard, but for us they're standard, our gourmet sandwiches that we have. And we have, we're going to start with, we make two beautiful bowls, a beautiful salmon and a chicken chimichurri bowls. And we're going to make your own bowls too, that you can create what you want, and we have a list of things that you can put in them. And we have like everything is homemade, all of our dressings, everything. All like one of our most popular sandwiches is called the apple smoked ham and cheddar sandwich, and we have homemade apple butter that the employees make. They do all the work. They do it all with assistance, and that has on it ham, cheese, and our homemade apple butter, and it's grilled. It's delicious. We have it's called the PJC, and it's like a Thanksgiving sandwich with homemade stuffing on it and turkey, and We put a sour cherry spread instead of cranberries, served with a side of gravy. That's very popular. And our homemade gluten-free chocolate bread pudding is very popular.
So, it sounds like quite a menu.
It is. It's a big menu, but they've got it. They've got it down. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's really amazing. It's really.
Well, I think what you're doing is, it's not just that it's so needed. It's something that so many of us wouldn't have even thought of. And you're giving people an opportunity to prove that they are more than what other people, you know, have a perception of, which, again, it's one of the things, stigma, perception, we have to get rid of, because it's not, it needs to be broken through, and you and your husband are doing this. So I say thank you. I bet your employees cannot wait for June 4th.
They cannot.
And again, nolimitscafe.org. Take a look at the website. You can donate. And also take a look at the website to see exactly what Stephanie has created.
Anybody else that wants to follow suit.
Go ahead.
We will help anybody else that wants to follow suit.
Then that's perfect. That's perfect. Stephanie, I thank you so much for being with me today and telling your amazing story, because it's one that so many people need to hear.
Oh, well, thank you.
I think your employees and the people with intellectual disabilities are, you know, one more up because of what you're doing. Stephanie, thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.